So guys, I want you to turn with me this morning in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9, as this will be where we are today. We only have one more week in the book of Philippians. It has been a tremendous, undertaking on my part to go through an entire book like this, and I have learned so much, and I pray that you guys have as well. I pray that I'm not preaching to myself every week, but you're at least taking nuggets home with you that you can apply to your life and truth that God has revealed to you. And I wonder this morning, how many of you have ever sought out advice? Have you ever sought out advice on something? Who hasn't sought out advice, right? Practical advice. Advice that even sometimes it's so simple in what the advice is, but it has a profound impact on your life. It's advice that has helped you in your life. And today we're going to get a little bit of that advice. Paul offers some of the best and perhaps most well-known advice in the Scripture today. And we're going to hone in on a handful of verses that I believe are important for us. We're going to read the entirety of the Scripture, but we're going to hone in on just a handful of those verses. So if you have your Bibles, several of you raised your hands. And I just remembered that I said several weeks ago I was going to have to go get some chocolate for Bibles, and I never did that. So next week I will have chocolate here. No, I'm not going to tell you it's next week, because then everybody will bring their Bible. In the next several weeks, I'm going to have chocolate here if you have your Bible with you. I want you to bring your Bible to church every Sunday. I want you to be able to open up and to learn where it is in the Bible that you're opening to. And so if you have your Bible this morning, please open them to Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 through 9. And if you don't, look on with the neighbor or look on at the screen, because I'll have it there as well. Now, if you've ever read the Bible, it won't take long before you find names that are hard to pronounce, right? And so here's my go-to. As I go to the Bible app and I hit play on the audio Bible and I listen to the narrator say it several times until I get down the delivery, okay? I'm not sure that I'm going to have the delivery right just yet, but I'm going to give a solid try here. So verse 2, it says, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche. I got it right, Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. Verse 3, yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. We've heard that already, haven't we? Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, or it could be gentleness, depending on what version of the Bible you're looking at, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And in the version that is gentleness, let your gentleness be evident to all. And so, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. It's a key phrase for us there. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, the first couple of verses that we read, there's two ladies that are in an argument. And Paul is saying, hey, quit arguing and get along with each other. Mend that relationship. But the handful of verses today that we're going to focus on are verses 4 through 9. And I just want to start, I already kind of alluded to this at the beginning of service, but can we all agree that life is hard? Amen. Yes, life stinks sometimes, guys. It's hard. It kicks us in our seats and knocks us down. Sometimes life is defeating. Sometimes life can be distracting. And sometimes things happen where it pulls our focus and our attention as far away from the Lord as it possibly could be. Things of life pull us away from the Lord when our attention is set so much on it, because we put our focus so much on these things that we will soon forget that Jesus is with us and wants to walk through with us whatever it is that we're going through. Because we're so hyper-focused on whatever the difficulty in life is, we forget that Jesus is right here and He's ready to walk us through whatever it is that we're facing. We forget that His grace is sufficient. We see that God says that to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you." We forget that He wants to help us. We forget that sometimes He's even present. Have you ever been so focused on your situation you said, "God, where are you?" I think we've all probably been in that spot where we said, "God, where are you in my situation? Why are you not here with me?" Here's what I want you to know. He wants to help. He's also not surprised by your situation. So whatever it is that every one of us have going on, can we all admit that we have something going on in life, right? If you have breath in your lungs this morning, you have something going on in your life. Okay, that's just the truth of the matter. God is not surprised. Jesus is not surprised by your situation. He's not disinterested in your situation, meaning He cares. He cares what each one of us is going through. He cares about the questions that we are asking. He wants to walk through the situation with you. He wants to face it with you. Why? Because He is here and He is ready to be with us. If we would just focus on Him and not the situation of life that is making life hard and difficult and unpleasant and this just stinks. He's present. He wants to be here. So this morning, I want to encourage you to trust that Jesus has everything under control. Even when things look hopeless, trust that Jesus has everything under control. See, this is where Paul gives us some very practical advice, this advice that helps us. And these are the advice that he's about to share with us that we've already read, but we're going to dive into it here. This advice needs to be evidenced in our lives. So as followers of Jesus, no matter what we are dealing or facing with, people should be able to see these things in our life. And we should strive to have these things shown in our life. And in our scripture today, Paul actually exhorts us to do these things to help us keep our eyes and our minds forever focused on Jesus. Because rejoicing and trusting in God directs our focus solely on Him. You need to take away the things of distraction that are in your life. Try rejoicing and trusting in God, because all of a sudden your focus is now on Him and what He's doing and not the situation that is presenting a challenge in your life. So we're going to look at each one of these exhortations from Paul this morning. And the first being found in verses 4 and 5. I've got it up on the overhead so you can follow along. But we're going to take this chunk by chunk here. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say what?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Paul says to rejoice always. No matter what your circumstances are, rejoice. So what must we do? Rejoice. Always. Don't raise your hand this morning if this is true for you. But if you fought with your spouse on the way to church this morning, rejoice. How do we rejoice if we've just gotten in a fight? Because God changes our focus from the situation and on Him. And then our heart starts to change. And next thing you know, after church or right now, you're leaning over and saying, "Sorry, honey." And then there's forgiveness that happens. And guess what? Jesus is the one who forgave us of the most. So now we're pointed back to the grace that He's poured out on us. And all of a sudden, we're rejoicing again because He's given us grace. And we've been able to give grace because He gave us grace. And that's a reason to rejoice this morning. Did you follow that whole loop? Okay? Rejoice in all situations. You break your foot, rejoice. If you stub your toe, rejoice. That's the furthest thing from anybody's mind. Trust me, I've got another black toe because I kicked it on the bed the other day. I did not rejoice, did I? It hurt. Rejoicing was the furthest thing from my mind. But Paul says to rejoice in all situations, always. This is the second time in the book of Philippians he has told us to rejoice always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So church, that tells me that we have to be a people that are willing to rejoice the Lord. We have to verbalize and we have to rejoice in Him. The second is in verse 5, that reasonableness or that gentleness that he talks about. And as followers of Jesus, here's what we have to do. So when we talk about this gentleness and reasonableness, it ties in with the rejoicing. So just hear me out this morning. So as followers of Jesus, we have to learn how to rejoice. We have to learn how to gain strength in all situations. Because of the situation, we turn to God, we rejoice in God, and through our rejoicing, He gives us strength to face our circumstances. He brings us the very strength we need to march forward in our situation, including our suffering. So by remembering the Lord's goodness, His faithfulness, His nearness, and His promises in our situations, if we focus on those things, His goodness, His faithfulness, His nearness, His promises in our life, His grace, that we have reason to rejoice in the darkest hour of life. We have a reason to rejoice. And when we have that joy, when we rejoice in the things, we get joy, okay? But then we can become gentle. Who has gone through a hard situation, and because people around you did not understand that situation, said something to you, and maybe you snapped at them? Right? It happens. Are we not human? I stand before you today as somebody who snaps occasionally, like when I stub my toe. But listen, when we have joy, we gain a gentleness that even during those difficult times, people will see the evidence of Jesus in our life. Because we have His peace. We understand that He is with us. And so everybody around us can see the evidence as being followers of Jesus. Because, and we were talking this morning, and sorry, Teresa, she's not here, but if she listens to this, I said to Arvin and Crystal this morning, Teresa is one of the strongest women I have met. And if you haven't talked to her this week, I would recommend you pick up your phone and talk to her. And she's been through a lot this week. She's been through an awful lot this week. And I'm not discounting anything else that anybody has went through. It's just the most present on my mind this morning. Every time we have talked to her, she gives us the news, the things that are happening, and she's not once lost her positive attitude. She's not once lost her faithfulness in what the Lord is doing in her life. She takes it as it comes, but then it's right back to the Lord. And so, no matter what, there is a gentleness that comes when we have joy and we put our focus not on our difficult situations, but on Lord Jesus. And here's what I know. Joy and gentleness are not behaviors or an attitude of a person who lacks a relationship with Jesus. Rather, they are evidence of someone who trusts in the Lord. So if you want the evidence to say you trust in the Lord, you will have joy and gentleness. And when we have joy and gentleness, we are able to reveal Jesus to those around us through our rejoicing, through our gentleness. And Paul tells us to do this. Why? What is the very last thing at that sentence? Because the Lord is at hand. Do this because the Lord is at hand. The Lord is near in some versions. And church, do you know that this is the very viewpoint that each one of us have to have? Every single day, we have to have the viewpoint that the Lord is near. Why? Because if we believe that Jesus can come back at any time, if we believe that Jesus' return is imminent, meaning it's happening very soon, knowing this, not just thinking it, but knowing it and believing this, will create an expectation in our life that allows us to be ready and to be working for what He has called us to do as we prepare for His soon return. We are watching for His return. Rejoicing and trusting in God directs our focus solely on Him. Now, in watching and waiting for Jesus' return as Christians, we rejoice always in all the situations. We do our best to rejoice. We have gentleness. And then we see in verses 6 and 7, it says this, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." And then verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." But life is hard. Life stinks. Situations are hard to go through. Groceries cost too much. Everybody should be saying amen to that. I don't know anybody who's happy about grocery prices. Who wants to just call off, sell everything we own, go buy a farm, and we'll just have a community? Three hands. Anybody else? All right, here we go. There we go. See, we could just make everything, right? No. Anyways, it could be that I'm sick. Maybe I'm sick. I have debts to pay. But my kids need me. I can't help myself. Have you ever been there? I can't help myself. I'm going through this really hard situation, but I can't help myself. Have you ever been there? I can't work. I got laid off. I lost my pet. My insurance declined the procedure. My husband seems distant from me. My wife is giving me the cold shoulder. I yelled at my kid this morning. I said things that I shouldn't have said. I lied. I cursed. I caused someone pain. Can we all agree this morning that every one of those situations and 1,000 more are situations that we can find ourselves being anxious about? PJ, you say something stupid to your wife. Is that something to be anxious about? Yes. He's just shaking his head yes for everybody who can't see him. Sorry to put you on the spot, Sam. Be nice to him this afternoon. There are things to be anxious about. What if you're driving to work and your car breaks down? That's a reason for everybody to be anxious, right? What if you sign into your bank tomorrow morning and somebody from the Bahamas drained your bank account? Is that something to be anxious about? What if the doctor doesn't fill your prescription? Is that not something to be anxious about? What if you stub your toe on the bed and it turns black? I kind of make light of it, but I hope you guys are understanding what I'm trying to say here. There are reasons around us every single day that we find ourselves being anxious about. We are worried about it. And Paul says this. He says, "Do not be anxious about anything." That's hard to do, isn't it? That's hard to not worry if things in life. But if we look at what is anxiousness? Anxiousness is just worry. And what is worry? Worry is things that we can't take care of. Worrying about things that we can't change the outcome. And do you want to know the cure to worry? Paul tells us through prayer and supplication. So prayer is the surefire cure to anxiety and worry in our life. See, because godly prayer takes the focus off of that situation, off of the difficulty that you're facing, and it puts it back onto the power of God. Because we start to focus on who God is. It shifts our trust from us, who trust themselves to get stuff done, right? We trust ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We do this. We have this false sense of trustworthiness in ourselves. And it shifts that trust from us to Him, and it empowers us to be able to wholly trust in the Lord. See, it's through prayer that we renew our trust in the Lord's faithfulness in our life, because it releases all of our anxieties to Him, if we're willing to, right? If we're willing to release it to Him and say, "Lord, take it." We lay it at the foot of the cross, and we say, "We give all of our problems to You." Who would like to just be done with all of life's problems right now, today? Right now, the only current way to do that is to go to heaven. Otherwise, we have Jesus ready to walk with us and see us through our situations that we face. But it puts our anxiety and our problems to Him through prayer. And so this is what is meant when you hear laying it down at the altar or putting it down at the foot of the cross. It is believing and trusting and knowing knowing that Jesus will take care of it because He cares about you. He cares about your situation. He cares about what it is that you are facing. Because when we release our concerns, our worries, our problems, when we release them, we figuratively let go of them through prayer, He replaces them with something much better, His peace. To know that the Creator of the world has your situation under control, that's pretty great, isn't it? And this peace that we have, here's what this peace does. It guards our minds and it protects our hearts. It does not let worry seep back in. It reassures us, it comforts us that God has it under control. It is through prayer, it is through the act of prayer that we receive mercy and grace and our help and help in our time of need. So when we take these things before the Lord in prayer, we receive from Him. So instead of being anxious about the things of life, rejoice, be gentle, and don't worry, because we're praying instead of worrying. If you worry more than you pray, you ought to pray more than you worry. If you find yourself worrying about something in the middle of the day, what should you do? Pray. As we do this, as we find ourselves praying more and worrying less, God assures us that in all things He is working for our good. He has it under control. Rejoicing and trusting in God directs our focus solely on Him. So far, we've heard this morning to rejoice always, to be gentle, to be reasonable, to be anxious about nothing. Instead, pray, and at least let the peace of God guard your hearts and your minds. And that's quite the list. I'd say that's a pretty thorough list. It's a good list. It provides us some good things that we can do. But that's not the whole list, because Paul's not done. See, he says in verses 8 and 9, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So to experience God's peace and freedom from anxiety and freedom from the distractions of life, we must fix our minds on those very things. The things that are true, noble, right, pure, etc., etc., etc. If we set our minds on these things, Paul says at the end of verse 8, what does he say? The God of peace will be with you. Focus on the things of heaven, not on the things of earth. If we allow our minds to be occupied with ungodly things, things of the world, our worries, the situations in life, every one of us are facing unique situations. But if we worry on those things, the joy and the nearness of God and the peace of God, guess what? They're lost. Because now we've made this situation bigger and more important than our focus on the Lord Jesus. And our hearts are no longer guarded because we have allowed our worry and our anxiety to take over and rule us, if you will. Our worry has a way of stepping in and really consuming every moment of our life. If you've ever had a really big trial that you have faced, do you not think about it 24/7? So let's take that situation, and instead of focusing on it, let's put our focus on God. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's let Jesus start to work in our situation over our worry. And Paul then, in verse 9, he's showing us the influence, well, in verse 8, frankly, but he shows us the influence of our thoughts and our attitudes and the impact that they have on our lives. This is not a positive mental attitude pep talk here. But there is truth in what Paul is saying, because whatever occupies our thinking eventually works its way out into word and action. What we put in comes out. What we consume our mind with, if I don't want to go down a rabbit trail, but it's very easy for us to take a mindset. Let's say somebody says something bad about us to somebody else, and we heard it through a third party, and now we've got this idea that this person doesn't like us, or they don't like this or that, or whatever. If we consume, all of a sudden, that worry, what does it do? It transforms into much more than worry. It transforms into conversations you would have if you were confronting the person, or this action towards, and because you're holding disdain because of worry, so we that's the result of worry, now all of a sudden our actions towards that person is what? Distant, maybe mean, ungodly, because we've allowed that worry, it's like a cancer, if you will, that just eats at us, and it absolutely brings out the most ugly of uglies in our life. And I don't think there's a single person in here today that can say, I haven't experienced that either on the giving or the receiving end of that. So whatever occupies our thinking eventually works its way out into word or action. But when we trust in the Lord, when we think about the good things that Paul just gave us, the whole list, we think about the good thing Paul suggests that we think about, then they lead us to healthy thought patterns, moral purity, and spiritual fitness. I was concerned about my word there, but spiritual fitness. So when we think about these things, we're actually bringing a robust protection against worry. We're bringing in all of this help, if you will. And when we face these situations, when things come up in our life, and guys, we're getting bombarded every single day. I know that you are. We are. Everybody does. Things of life just happen. We can't control that. But our response to it, if we are surrounded with moral purity, spiritual fitness, and the healthy thought patterns. Hey, God's got this. You know what? This is a surprise to us, but the Lord knew it was coming. So Lord, we just give it to you this morning. We trust you. We know you're going to take care of it. We're not sure how this is going to work out or the outcome, but Lord, we're just going to have full faith in you on this situation. If that is our approach to it and not letting worry come in and absolutely destroying our life, Jesus will be evident to everybody around us because of how we're dealing with. Because go back to the beginning. Joy and gentleness are not character attributes of somebody who is not in relationship with the Lord. But rather, because they're in a relationship with the Lord, we have joy and gentleness. And so, if our lives are evident of these things and we have that spiritual fitness, it will be evident to all that Jesus is very much a part of our life. So rejoicing and trusting in God directs our focus solely on Him. Stacy, if you want to get ready to come up here in just a minute. Christians are not to be anxious. That is the charge. You are not to be anxious about anything. Instead, we are to bring prayers of all kinds before the Lord. This does not mean a total lack of thought. This doesn't mean that we don't have a little bit of fear or we don't have a little bit of anxiety. But what we can know is that the peace of God protects us. The peace of God will protect us. And Paul also encourages us to focus on those good things, the things that are good. So this includes all the things that we have learned. How many of us have learned in our relationship with Jesus? We were talking about asking questions this morning in Sunday school. And as you step into a relationship with Jesus, you naturally have questions. And then you start to mature. That maturing is learning. It is going through life and it is learning these things. It is to make sure that we are focusing on the things that we have received, the things we have heard, the things that Paul displayed in his letters. And Paul says, if you just do like I do, then the God of peace will be with you. So Paul emulates for us what we are to do. So the Philippian Christians and us today, all of us here today, we are instructed to think about those things and then not only think about them, but then apply them in our life. Put them to use. What good is it for me to stand up here this morning and tell you not to be anxious about anything but pray in all things, and then you go home and you start worrying about the things that you ought not to be worrying about? We have to put it into action. We have to place it into the hands of Christ and say, it is up to you. And here's what happens when we take that step. We will know and experience God's peace. And I would submit to you today, there is nothing better than having the peace of God over any situation in your life. Because in today's world, with all the things that pull us, all the things that distract us, all the things that demand our attention, they cause us to lose focus on the Lord. We must have. It is a requirement. We have to be guarded and shielded by the peace of God in today's world. I would argue just as much the same for the Philippians. But it is a requirement for us as Christians to be shielded with the peace of God in our life. So this morning, I encourage you to think about the good things of the Lord. Find yourself rejoicing. Be gentle. Let your life be evident to all around you that Jesus is very much a part of your life. Don't be anxious, but instead, have a life of prayer and receive the peace of God this morning. See, engaging our community for Jesus, it means that we live the life that Paul calls us to today, that Scripture calls us to, but it was Paul teaching it. It also means that we live a life that will be evidence of Jesus' power in our life. So when people see us walking through the same, we might be walking through the same situation as our neighbor. You might have two very different responses. We want our response to be the response that would tell them that Jesus' power is alive and well in our life because of how we're handling our situation. So rejoicing and trusting in God directs our focus solely on Him. Can we stand to our feet this morning? You might already know this, but if you don't, there's only one way to not be anxious in life, to not have anxiousness, to get rid of it, to be able to rejoice and have gentleness. And it's not about thinking positive thoughts. It's not about, let me just try a little bit harder, but it's to put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Period. That's it. To be able to put our trust in Him and have Him be present in our life, it requires us to understand first and foremost that we have a need for Jesus in our life. We all have a need for Jesus to be present in our lives, which in turn means we have to deal with our sin. We all have a debt to pay. But guess what happens in a relationship with Jesus? We receive a forgiveness of sins. You become a new creation. You have a promise of eternal life. And you have a reason to not be anxious. You have a reason to not worry anymore. See, Jesus died and rose again to pay our debt of sin. He died and rose to wash away forever our sins, totally forgiven, totally forgotten, when we make Him the Lord and Savior of our life. It is from the confession of our mouth that Jesus is Lord and Savior. And it's also by believing, this is Romans 10:9, and believing in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's that all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this morning, whether this is in a fresh way or this is in a brand new way, you've never asked Jesus to be Lord and Savior of your life. This morning, every one of us have the opportunity to ask Jesus into our life. We have an opportunity to confess our sins and to commit to serving Jesus as Lord and Savior. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads this morning, if that is you this morning, with every eye closed, every head bowed, if that is you this morning and that truth, that word just speaks to you and says, I need Jesus in my life, would you please, where you're standing this morning, would you just raise your hand? as we move forward, as we get ready to close the service or the message today, I wonder. I started the very beginning of service asking, did you have something you were anxious about? Did you have something you were dealing with? So my question now is, church, do you have something that you could be rejoicing over? Do you have a reason to rejoice this morning? Do you have some anxiety in your life that you need to turn to prayer and trust Jesus with? Are there things that you should put your mind on? Could you put your mind on things that are true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable? If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, could you put your mind to it this morning? Could you dwell on those things? We must respond to the message today. We must respond. We must practice rejoicing. We must practice praying over what we are anxious about. We must think about the good things of God. So I wonder this morning, as you're standing and you're hearing my voice, would you be so bold this morning? Would you be so bold to take a step, to take that first step right now? Step out of your seat, make your way to the altar, to seek after the Lord, to lean in, to trust Him, to start rejoicing over the things of your life, to turn over that anxiety. Is there anybody here this morning who's willing to be this bold before the Lord? Is there anybody? Is there anybody else who could rejoice? Is there anybody else who can take that worry and turn to prayer? This is a call to everybody. Do you have anxiety in your life? If the answer is yes to that, could we be praying over it? If the answer is yes to that, would you find your way to the altar this morning? If you found yourself not being gentle in situations where you should be, guess what? This is the thing that we can give to the Lord and let Him bring that gentleness into our life. Here's what I know, church. He is worthy of your time this morning. He is worthy of you digging in. He is worthy for a few extra minutes at the altar. He is worthy for everybody in this building to rejoice. To rejoice always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So as the worship team plays, would you rejoice? Would you pray? And would you trust God to lead and provide in your situation?